Good morning to each one here. We certainly feel the Lord's presence here with you, and we rejoice in that. You know, God said where two or three are gathered in His name, He's not going to miss a meeting like that. There am I in the midst of them. And so we believe that God is here. We've sensed His presence, and we bless each one of you. It's such a privilege to be here. Do I need to switch a lever here? Okay, so I thought red means stop and think. So I appreciated what Brother John mentioned right in the onset of the meeting when he said, if you're a human being, God wants worship. And I was just thinking, I read one time where the highest form of worship isn't just words, it's imitation. And so I was just thinking, if we want to worship God, we need to be like Him. We need to follow His example. Jesus, it says in the Scriptures that He hath given us an example that we should follow in His steps. And the pattern, He is the pattern. We sing a song sometimes, He the great example is and pattern for me. In every area of life, so may God give us grace as we consider a subject this morning. I would like to consider some thoughts on the subject of love. I want to consider a scriptural love. The love that the Bible teaches us that we need to have. God's love. We believe that true biblical love is so much more than we normally think of when we use the word love in everyday life. Like, I love this, or I love that, or I really love this weather, or even that advertisement from McDonald's that says, I'm loving it. But no, the love of God is so much more than that. It's so much deeper, so much richer. So much longer lasting, such a higher standard. And we know this, but it's a sacrificial love. It's a more disciplined love than the love of the world around us. And this is a very convicting subject to me because it's so connected to God Himself. It's so connected to being born again. You know, if we have a testimony of being born again, but we don't have this love radiating out from our life, we are lacking what the Scriptures teach us that we should have. So I'd like to challenge us this morning. It's so connected to our faith. You know, love is the working power of our faith. I think about that Scripture in Galatians that says, faith which worketh by love. And so love is a very working part of our faith. And I would like to read in Romans 13 there, it's the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:8, I believe, is what I'm looking for here. I just want to read that verse. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Isn't that an amazing statement? I think about the law sometimes. I read the book of, you know, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and some of those details of the law, and I kind of get bogged down in some aspects of it at least. But it says here, if you love another, you have fulfilled the law. And so we need to understand how big this thing is with God. And it's also the test. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that ye have love one for another. And I would like for all of us to turn to 1 John chapter 4. I want to show us something here that's very significant to me. When I read this, I was really intrigued. 1 John chapter 4, I want to look at verses 7 and 8. John makes it clear that love is of God, but it's not only of God, but God Himself, His whole being is love. In other words, he doesn't just have love, he is love. Look at verse 7 here in chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth..." Now, that's not earthly love there. That's God's love. Would we agree on that? "Everyone that loveth like God loves is born of God." And what that "born of God" means is, it means born again. That's just another way of saying born again. Born of God. And so, look at that. That's interesting to me. "Everyone that loveth like God loves is born of God." Not just everyone who has a testimony. Not just everyone who knows how to say it right. Not just everyone who does great things. It says right here, it's he that loveth like God loves is born of God. That's who's born again. And he strengthens that in verse 8 and says, "He that loveth not," and there again, that's like God loves, "knoweth not God." In other words, he's not born again. And I want to be very careful here because I don't want to come on in a, in a condemning way. But we need to know the truth. And that's the truth. God is love, and it's he that loveth that has this love that is born again. And so we need to challenge ourselves. I would like to challenge us this morning and just ask ourselves, do I have this love of God in my heart? Am I motivated by this true godly love? Am I driven by it? When the tests of life come, brothers and sisters, and they do come, but is this the motivating influence within me? In other words, it's not mixed with hatred and anger and all these sinful problems that man testifies that we have. When we are filled with the love of God, that is what's on the throne of our life, that's what comes out. When life hits us and knocks us sideways, maybe even knocks us over, what comes out? If I have this cup of water in my hand and I get hit sideways and it knocks me over and I drop the cup, what comes out of the cup? The only thing that's in there. It's going to be pure water. And so when life hits us hard with challenges, with trials, with trouble, what comes out? The only thing that's in there. The love of God. And that's a very convicting meditation for me, because I look at my life and I just have to testify. I've seen some other things come out too. And it should lead us to repentance. I'm going to say something, and we're going to look at this today at the definition of love. But love rejoices in the truth. And so we want to know the truth here this morning. And so often, the truth sometimes is against me. When I'm in trouble and the truth comes and it's kind of against me, I don't always like the truth. I like whatever it takes to justify me and to make me look a little bit better. But love rejoices in the truth. So when the truth is hard on me, and that's where the saying comes from, that the truth hurts, that's when the truth is kind of hard on me. But when I love the truth, it'll lead me to repentance. But if I love me, when the truth comes against me, it's going to create a conflict. And it's going to cause a reaction where when I get hit, something else besides love is going to come out. But when we love the truth, it's beautiful. We accept it because we love the truth, and it will lead us to repentance. So that's a beautiful aspect, I believe, of love. I would like to challenge us this morning. Do I have this kind of love? Many religions look at themselves and ask questions like, am I conservative? If I'm conservative, I'm okay. But you can be conservative and not have this kind of love at all. All kinds of other things come out when you get hit with life. The challenge is, do I have this kind of love? Am I motivated by it? Am I driven by it? If I really do have this kind of love, I will be motivated by it, because that's what's on the throne of my life. That's how I think. Because the love of God is a motivating love. Now, as we consider this kind of love this morning, I would like to ask some questions. And we're considering here, we're kind of checking ourselves, do I have this kind of love? Brothers and sisters, we need it, because that's what the test we read in 1 John 4 of whether we're born again. He that loveth, he that has this kind of love is born again. And I believe that more people would be drawn into the kingdom of God if we all had this kind of love. So often the people of God have a trail behind them of conflict and fighting even, and opposition. But by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And so I'm going to say that more people would be drawn into the kingdom if we clearly had the testimony of this kind of love. So I want to consider some questions here as we consider, do I have this kind of love? How far will this kind of love go in my situation? That's a practical application of it, is it not? How far will this love go in the situation that I'm in? How much will this kind of love endure? How much will this kind of love forgive? How long will this kind of love last? And what kind of relationship will this kind of love build in the situation that I'm in? And those are fair questions. And I was very convicted when I wrote these questions down. How much will this kind of love endure? How much can this kind of love forgive? I was convicted because the Bible gives all the answers to those questions. They're all in here. And so they're not just questions, they're questions with scriptural answers. So I'd like to turn here in the onset to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn there together. I would like to read a passage here. Ephesians chapter 3, I want to look at, I think it's verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So here's faith. It's what we all want. But that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Remember, our faith which worketh by love. So we see them both right here. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. And so there's something here that we need to comprehend, brothers and sisters. We need to get a hold of this thing. We need to comprehend this great love of God that we are grounded and rooted in. And we need to not only comprehend it ourselves, but we need to comprehend it with all saints. It's for all of us to get a hold of this thing with all saints. It says, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? And I was just looking at this board here. We'll just use this because we need to comprehend the love of God. And so I'm just going to draw. Hopefully I can get some ink out of here. I'll just put an arrow here and an arrow here. But the love of God, we need to comprehend, it says, the length of this thing. How far does this thing go? God's love. We need to comprehend this, all of us together, with all saints, how far this thing goes, both ways. But not just the length we need to comprehend. We need to comprehend the depth. This thing doesn't just go that way and that way. We need to comprehend. We sing that song sometimes. Depth of mercy. Can there be? It's a question. Is there mercy still reserved for me? Maybe I'm down here. No problem. The love of God just goes all the way. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. It doesn't matter the length and the depth and the height.
How high does this thing go?
You know, we're commanded, is it 1 Corinthians 12 where it talks about we need to rejoice with them that do rejoice. If somebody's up here just rejoicing in God, we don't need to pull them down to our level because we're down here struggling. We can just go up there and rejoice with them. It's a beautiful thing that the flesh cannot do. The flesh can't go up there and rejoice for somebody else. It can go up there and rejoice for me. Haman would have got along fine up here if the focus was on him. But he couldn't go up here and rejoice with Mordecai. He couldn't do that. But the love of God could do that. And we need to comprehend that. Comprehend means we need to get a hold of this thing. We need to understand this. But it's not just the length and the depth and the height. It's also the breadth of this thing. We need to comprehend this. It's a powerful thing. We hear that saying sometimes. It's kind of, when something's really big, we say it's huge. Brothers and sisters, this is huge. Comprehending the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, there's nowhere that the love of God does not go. What a thing to comprehend. Let's keep reading here. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Isn't that something? We're called to understand something that passes knowledge. How are we going to do that? And I know that our fleshly mind can't do that. We can't pass our knowledge. But I believe that our spirit can. We can get a hold of this. And this is not only just a suggestion. It's kind of like the Ten Commandments. They're not called the Ten Suggestions. They're the Ten Commandments. And here we have a commandment that this love would be within us for each other. What a testimony to a lost and a dying world. I was just thinking, if we all had this, what would that do to our marriages? What would that do to our families? What would that do to our churches? Whew. It would create a lot of gravity. It would become a beautiful testimony to a lost and dying world around us. I believe that with all my heart. In Matthew 22, there was a man that came to the Lord Jesus and he said, Master, what is the first and greatest commandment? What's the number one? What's the big number one? And Jesus answered that question. He said, right here, this is the kind of love we need to have towards God. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And then Jesus answered a question that he didn't even get asked. He wasn't asked what the second one was. But he made it very clear, the second one is just like it. This isn't just the love we have toward God. This is the love we have toward each other. The second one is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And that got changed in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. And it wasn't a new commandment that we love. That's ever of old. The new commandment is that we would love each other as I have loved you. It was no longer loving your neighbor as yourself. Now you need to love your neighbor. You need to love your brother as Christ loved us. He raised the standard on us. But he showed us how to do it, did he not? He showed us at Calvary. And then he filled us with himself so that we could do it too. And so I challenge us this morning, are we doing it? Is this the love that we have in our hearts for each other? Men, we are commanded here to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We're talking about this kind of love right here. This is the love wherewith Christ loved the church. We are commanded to love our wives that way. As much as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so often we just put our emphasis on loving our wives like Christ loved the church, but that's not all it says. It says, and gave himself for it. How much did he give? He gave everything. Brothers, that, husbands, that is how much we should give for our wives. What would that do to our marriages? What would that do to marriage problems? What would that do to marriage counseling? Do we have this kind of love? We are loved to love our wives as long as Christ loved the church. That is why there's no room for divorce in the kingdom of God. Because when you love each other with this kind of love right here, you work things out. You don't get divorced. This love lasts. It has no end. It would help our marriages. So we are examining ourselves to see if we have this kind of love. And I want to encourage us. We're all in a situation, or two or three. We're all in situations. That's the way God, that's where he sent us here upon the earth. And so often we want to be the exception. I've done some counseling, I've done some listening, and there's just lots of people that want to be the exception. And I want to tell you something this morning about being the exception. I want to tell you something about true godly faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of faith doesn't want to be the exception. They just want to put their trust in God and obey and trust him and just make this thing work. And I want to tell you something about love as well. Love, true godly love, does not want to be the exception. This kind of love just simply loves. No matter what. And works things out. That's a beautiful thought. Because we are surrounded by a huge company of people who want to be the exception. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's thump that exception out here. Where is the exception here? In this kind of love. Is it here? Is that it? Maybe it's over here. Is it clear down here? Maybe it's up here. Where's the exception? I just tell you, there is no exception. They aren't here. Let's put our faith in God. We are commanded to have this kind of love. It'll change our churches. I know it will. By God's grace. So I'd like to turn now to 1 Corinthians 13. We know that that's considered the love chapter. I'd just like to look at it, go through that chapter. A few verses there. And I want to encourage us to memorize this chapter. If this is the test of the people of God, if this is how all men will know that we're Christ's disciples, and I want to challenge us, what does it mean? By this shall all men know. Just the Christian world? No. It's all men. By this, unbelievers will figure this thing out. By this, the heathen, the Gentiles, the people that have never heard of God before, will figure this thing out by this love right here. Shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. So I think we should memorize this chapter. I encourage you all to do it. I think I'm going to read it all, and then I'm going to come back and make a few comments. And that'll be our message for today. And remember, the message is a challenge. Do I have this kind of love? Is this the motivating force in my life? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I want to look at this chapter. I want to look at the definition here of charity. But I want to remind us that charity never faileth. Do we believe that? If we don't believe it, we kind of need to thump this thing out of here. Because it's driving me crazy. If it's true, then we need to believe it. And so I'm challenging us. Let's not question whether it's true. Let's pray for faith and understanding and for this comprehension of this great love. This is the love right here that never faileth. Man's love fails time after time after time. And so many people have tried to use man's love in a situation and say, God's love didn't work. The trouble is, it wasn't God's love. And so the challenge for us today is to understand this never fails. Isn't that an exciting thought for the situation that you're in? Isn't that an encouragement to pray for this kind of love in my heart, that I would be motivated, that I would be driven, that this is the only thing that can come out, and it'll never fail. That's what it says. Whoa, that's a stretch. I know it is. But it's true. And we can rejoice in the truth. I'm going to kind of skip over these first three verses. Because the first three verses are basically saying, it doesn't matter what you have, even faith, so that you can move mountains. I don't know if you ever know anybody that had enough faith to move mountains. But it says here, big deal. If they don't have the faith which worketh by love, this love right here. If you don't have this, you're nothing. And what does nothing mean? I mean, we need to get a hold of this. Nothing means nothing. We don't want to be there. And so let's start here in verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long. That we're talking about this kind of love here. God's love suffers long, a long time. And so that's quite a place to start. That's quite a meditation. And it's one thing to suffer, and it's another thing to suffer for a long time. Charity suffereth long. And whether the meaning here is patience or persecution, either way, the flesh cannot do it. The flesh will not do it. But we're not talking about the flesh here. We're talking about the love of God that we are commanded as children of God to have. This is the imitation of Christ himself that we need to have. And I think these first two go together. It says here, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity not only suffers a long time, suffers a long time, it's still kind. Three dimensions. Suffers a long time, is still kind. But you know, it just really keeps going. It goes, I'm just going to say four dimensions. Because I think it's Colossians that talks about having all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So it's not only suffers, it only suffers a long time, it not only is still kind, it's even joyful. That's what this can do. This love that never fails. Man's love can't do that. But we're not talking about man's love. Do I really have this kind of love? And I was just thinking, when I was considering the definition here of charity that never fails, we barely got started good yet. All we did is read the first thing. Suffereth long and is kind. And I'm already under conviction. And so this is just going to grow. And I'm going to encourage us. Let's believe God. Let's not bring this definition of this kind of love down to our level and then have a testimony, it didn't work for me. You missed it somewhere. It either wasn't this kind of love or it wasn't applied in the right way to our situation. I'm challenging us. I'm challenging myself. This kind of love never fails. And I want you to know, big point here, I don't want to come across in a condemning way. I want to be encouraging. This is an exciting subject. This is available to all of us. And so I don't want to come across condemning, you know, what's the matter with us. I just want to remind us there's probably higher ground for all of us. And I want to encourage us to do some climbing, to do some praying, to do some stretching, to do some reaching, to do some crying out to God. And I want to say something about suffering, because the love of God can do this. Four dimension suffering. But brothers and sisters, I don't think it's God's will for us to just suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer and just keep on suffering. So I want to tell you something about this kind of love. This kind of love, God's love, is a solution-minded love. This kind of love can fix what's wrong. When you have the love of God, and when the love of God is suffering, the love of God can cry out for help. The love of God can cry out for reconciliation. The love of God can work through things, big things, hard things. This kind of love can do it. And so this love is not only willing to suffer, but it's willing to cry out, because this is a solution-minded love. The love of God can fix things, big things, hard things. The love of God loves reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. I think this is so exciting, because what this says is that if somebody has marriage problems, if somebody has challenges with a relationship in a family, if someone has challenges with a relationship in a church, this is exciting. This is good news. This will work. I was just thinking, this kind of love is really good at forgiving. This is the kind of love that forgave us of our sins so that we're clear with God. But when we were alienated from God and enemies in our mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled us. So we came all the way from aliens and enemies to reconciled with a sweet walk with God, one with God, him dwelling within. And so look what this love can do. That's what this love did to make us right with God. And it's the same love that will work out the challenges that we have in practical everyday life. The love of God does not lay a foundation for bitterness. It does not sweep things under the rug. It does not cover things up. It fixes it, because the love of God is a solution-minded love. Now I want to look here at the next list of things as the definition of what this love can do. And they're focused on taking our concentration off of ourself. That's a big part of the definition of the love of God that will never fail. If part of your focus is on yourself, it might not fit the definition of this kind of love. Let's take a look at this. In verse 4 still, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not. Brothers and sisters, envy is just wrapped in self. And self is always interested in self-justification, self-exaltation, self-promotion, gratification. That focus has to go away. Charity vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth not what? Self. It's self. It's a focus that turns away from ourselves. Is not puffed up. And in verse 5 it also says, doth not behave itself unseemly. And I want us to know this morning that the Bible condemns all of those things. Vaunting itself like Haman did. Vaunting itself like many, many people do. There's probably some pride in this room. And sometimes we don't know on our own heart. Maybe there's some pride in my own heart. And make God forbid, but we need to deal with that thing, because charity doesn't do that. And I want, if when life hits me, that's the only thing that I want to come out, is the love of God. And if there's some pride in there and some pride comes out, whew, that can fail. This kind of love, in its pure form, never faileth. Envy and strife, where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And the scriptures are full that he that exalteth himself or vaunteth himself shall be abased and brought down, because God resisteth the proud. And seeking your own way, it mentions here, seeketh not her own in verse 5. What does Proverbs say about he that seeketh his own way? It says the end thereof are the ways of death. The love of God can get over that focus on ourself to serve and to love others. That's a tremendous relationship builder. We used to sing an old song in the German Baptist church, and it was a song about turning water into wine. I always liked that song, but there's a line in there that says, when self-seeking turns to love. And that's what we're talking about this morning. When self is out of the way and it turns into this. When self-seeking turns to love, not knowing mine nor thine, that's when the miracle is wrought. And water turned to wine. And brothers and sisters, that's what we want. That's the testimony that we want, is our water turned to wine. That's answered prayer. That's God moving in our behalf. And I say with the scriptures that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him. But the eyes of the Lord don't just run to and fro throughout the whole earth and they're just always moving. The eyes of the Lord land somewhere. And it's our desire that the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong would land in us and move in our behalf. What kind of a testimony will that give us? It's a powerful testimony that gets the attention of a lost and dying world around us, I believe. Says several things here. We're not going to have time to dwell on all of this. I can see that. But thinketh no evil. This kind of love doesn't think evil. And that's not just thinking evil about others. That's thinking evil. This kind of love doesn't have a pornography problem. Because it just doesn't think about those things. It thinks no evil. I want to look at verse 7 here. I want to spend some time here. There's 12 words in this verse. There's four subjects, three words apiece, and this is a big verse. And I want to challenge us this morning. We're checking ourselves. Do I have this kind of love? Do I have the love that beareth all things? You know, I have said before, and I've heard people say that I can't take this. I don't even have to take this. I'm not taking this anymore. And I just think about that, and I've heard myself say that, and then I go here and I read this, and I say, now wait a minute. You can bear it. I think about the scripture, it's in 1 Corinthians 10 maybe, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted more than you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Love beareth all things. And I've heard people, what I believe is misinterpreting that scripture, and says, I was in a bad marriage and God gave me a way of escape so that I could bear it. He separated us and I don't have to deal with it anymore. And brothers and sisters, that's not what the scriptures intended to do for us. Just let us walk away from whatever challenge we have and praise God and say, that was my way of escape. God will never provide a way of escape that conflicts with vows that have been made. Did you hear that? God's not going to provide a way of escape for us to exit fulfilling our vows. No, he gives strength. And there is strength in believing that God will give us strength so that we'll be able to bear it. Charity never faileth. It bears all things. There's also a German Baptist song that we used to sing that says, say not that you cannot bear it. It is more than you can do. So I'm going to encourage us this morning, don't say that. Instead, let's pray for strength so that God can show himself strong in our behalf and we can bear it. Believeth all things. I've looked at that and I've wondered what that meant. Brother Dale, I'd be glad to know what you think that means. I guess I'll just tell you what I think that means. I just thought about that. Believeth all things. That just sounds like somebody that's gullible and is going to swallow everything. And I'm sure that's not what it means. The kingdom of God, the people of God, gullible, swallow anything, it doesn't fit. Believeth all things. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I think it means. I think that means the people of God are good listeners. They can listen. They can hear someone's heart. They put credibility to someone sharing their heart. They believe what they're saying. They're not saying amen. Everything they're saying is true, but they believe the perspective that they're coming from. They put themselves in someone else's shoes. They understand where they're coming from. They put some credibility to someone sharing their heart. And I think it's beautiful. It fits so good. Believeth all things. A good listener is one of the best relationship builders that there is. And it's part of the definition of charity. The people of God can listen and understand. This kind of love can listen to your heart. It doesn't just say absolutely everything you're saying is right. Maybe we need some correction here. But this kind of love can listen. It can understand where you're coming from. What would that do to our marriages? What would that do to our family relationships? I know it would help because this kind of love never fails. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. There's some really encouraging things in here that's really exciting to think about. Hopeth all things. In other words, this kind of love right here will never commit suicide. You know what? You know how I know? People commit suicide when there's no hope left. All hope is gone. They can't get a hold of any hope. And so they take some drastic measures. But love, this kind of love, always has hope. If somebody can quote, I don't want to turn there, but it's Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all hope. How does that go? Someone?
Joy. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing.
Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. But it goes on and says, that you may abound in hope. That's what it is. That's what I was trying to get a hold of. That you may abound in hope. That's the people of God. They don't get so discouraged that there's no hope. I've always been impressed with Abraham, of whom it says, who against hope, believed in hope. He believed in hope when there was no hope. When there was no hope, he believed anyway. Our God is a God who makes a way when there is no way. Do you believe that? I believe that. Actually, I was somewhere. I forget where I was. I heard a song playing. Maybe it was in a store somewhere. I'm not sure. But there was a song playing. It said, our God is a God who makes a way when there is no way. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. I was just thinking, well, that's pretty neat. Our God is a God who makes a way when there is no way. That's a pretty high level of hope. We've heard of the saying sometimes, if you're in a fix, there's just no plan B. But have you ever been there when there was no plan A? Or B. Or C. There's still hope. Because our God is a God who makes a way when there is no way. He gives hope when there is no hope. That makes me think of David at Ziklag, right? When he went out and when he came back with his men back to Ziklag where he was living, the whole city was burnt with fire. His wife and children were kidnapped. All the wives and children of his men were kidnapped and they were gone. And his men were upset and they were ready to stone David. He didn't have plan A or B. But what did he do? But it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. What a low point. And I've looked at that. And as best I can tell, at that point, at that horrible low point, David was about 1 week away from being king of Israel. Because he encouraged himself in the Lord. So this is an exciting subject. It hopeth all things. It's never clear at the bottom with nothing to do. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. May God give us grace to do that very thing. And then it says in verse 7, endureth all things. And if you remember, that's one of the questions that we're wanting to keep in mind as we go through this. How much can this kind of love endure? So there's the answer to that question. And sometimes it seems like that's just too big. You can't endure anything. None of us think that we can just endure anything. So we need to put some qualifications on these statements. And maybe we do. But I know what this says. And I don't want to get too far from what this says. If we want to put some qualifications on it, by the grace of God, I think we're going to understand it a little bit, but let's not X this thing out. That's what this kind of love can do. It can endure all things. I would rather challenge myself on whether I have this kind of love than question God about whether it's true. Did you hear that? I would rather question myself on whether I have this kind of love in my heart than question God on whether it's true. May God give us the grace to rise up in faith and believe that charity never faileth. And so I want to make a few more comments here. We believe in literal interpretation of the scriptures, and there's a greeting that God has given His people to greet each other with. We call it the holy kiss. We call it the kiss of charity. And you know what that's a sign of? It's a sign of this. Being in our heart for each other. That we love each other as much as Christ loved us. That's what's coming forth. And we hear lots of discussions nowadays about whether it's important. It was just part of the culture back then. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it has nothing to do with the culture back then. It has everything to do with this being in our hearts toward each other. This love needs to be there. And it'll never fail us. David and Jonathan had it. When David and Jonathan parted, it says they wept. They fell on each other's neck and wept until David exceeded, I think it says. And so when Jonathan came to David in the woods, David was running from Jonathan's father Saul, but Jonathan went into the woods and talked to David. What kind of a greeting do you think they had? Do you think David said, "Oh, hi, Jonathan. How's it going?" I don't think so. He saw his beloved friend. He embraced him with his heart. You see that kind of picture all through the scriptures. One of them is in Acts chapter 20, where Paul was traveling back trying to get to Jerusalem kind of in a hurry. And he wanted to meet with the elders that were at Ephesus. And he didn't even go to Ephesus. He just asked if the elders could come and meet him there at the dock before he sailed the ship back towards Jerusalem. And the elders of Ephesus came. And it was at that point when Paul gave him his heart of Acts chapter 20. It's at that point where Paul told them that they would see his face no more. And right there at the ship, it says they knelt down and Paul prayed. And when Paul prayed, it says they all wept sore. I'd love to have been there. I would love to have heard that prayer. It says they all wept sore and fell on his neck and kissed him, especially because he said that they would see his face no more. There was a love that was flowing there between them. And that's God's will. And you can say, well, no, that was just a special love between David and Jonathan or Paul and the elders at Ephesus. But no, I'm just telling you this morning, that's just a special love for us. Yes, it's a special love, but it flows from the heart. I trust. I'm going to read just a little bit in Luke chapter 7. There was a woman here that got converted. She was a wicked woman. Some people think it was Mary Magdalene. I don't know. But it was in the house of Simon. And I want to tell you what her testimony was. And Jesus knew it. And it's not even recorded that she said anything. But she came in and she began to weep. And with her tears, she washed the Lord's feet right in Simon's house and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And Jesus said, in verse 44, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Not because she has a beautiful testimony, not because she knows how to say it right, not because she did some great thing, but look at the reason Jesus gave. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Don't you see this kind of love right here in that woman ministering to the Lord? Jesus said that's what saved her. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven because she loved much. And I've thought about that. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody cry hard enough to wash someone's feet. Maybe someone here has. I don't know. That's a lot of tears. That's pretty serious weeping. And I was just thinking as I read that, Lord, I would like to do that. To see myself alienated, enemies in my mind, totally reconciled through the blood of Christ. I'd just like to have that move me to tears so that I could wash the feet of my Lord with tears. There's people that would probably say, well, Dale, you're probably not going to ever be able to do that because you're a man. It takes a woman to weep that much. But I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't have anything to do with a woman. It has everything to do with this. And I would like to do it. Mary Magdalene, I don't know if that's the same woman or not. But it says of her that when Jesus rose from the dead, it says that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And I consider that a tremendous honor. I just do. That was, I don't think that's an accident. I don't think that Mary was there and so it just happened to cross paths first with Mary. It says that Jesus appeared first, I'm going to add, on purpose to Mary. What an honor. What was it about Mary that brought this great honor to her? If you read in John chapter 20, it says that Mary, by herself, went to the tomb early. Still, when it was still dark, it says. Everybody else was home sleeping. All the disciples were home sleeping. They were at home. They were confused and they were sad, but they were asleep. Not Mary. She was up. She was at the tomb. And when she got to the tomb, she realized it was empty. And she saw the napkin laid there beside where her Lord has laid. And she didn't know what to do, so she ran home and got the disciples up. Wake up! The Lord's not in the tomb! And so, boy, they got up, they got dressed, and it says Peter and John ran hard to the tomb. And it says that John outran Peter because he was younger. This is all in John chapter 20. You can just look at that. And when they got there, they said, well, sure enough, he's gone. Where'd he go? And they were confused and they were thinking about it. And then there's a verse that says, then every man went back to his own house. The disciples went back home. What did Mary do? Mary stayed at the tomb weeping. And that's when Jesus appeared to Mary. She was there before anyone else got there. She was still there after everyone else went home. She had this kind of love for her Lord. And that is where the eyes of the Lord landed. To show himself strong. And you can say, where's the disciple whom Jesus loved? Did it have to be a woman? And I'll just tell you this morning, again, it doesn't have anything to do with being a woman. It has everything to do with how much we love the Lord Jesus. That should be encouraging to every one of us. It can be a woman. It was a woman. But it can be a man. That promises for every one of us. Because this kind of love in our heart never faileth. I'm going to bring this to a close. In Ephesians 3 that we read, I'm going to keep reading there for a little bit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Why? Look at this. When we understand the love of Christ, it says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that what we want? I mean, how big is God? How full is God? We read of God that the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. There's not enough room in outer space for Him to fit. And we're going to be filled with the whole thing. We're going to be filled with all the fullness of God. And when we have that kind of love within us, look what happens in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to this power that makes our faith work, that makes our... It's our faith that worketh by this love dwelling in us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I just want to challenge you. Our limit. Our limit is all that we can ask or think. That's as far as we can go. Can anybody here go farther than you can ask or think? That's it for us. But not for God. Look here. Above all that we ask or think. Abundantly above. And that's still not it. Exceeding abundantly above our limit. All that we can ask or think. Praise God. And it's this. This is the power that dwells within us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope this is an encouraging message. We always have challenges to know how to apply this. We're going through some challenges right now. We're not overly clear with some of the direction that's happening in our dear church. And so we're hurting because this is what we feel toward all the people. But I believe there's some principles in here that we need to honor. And so we're on our face before God. And we're here to try to encourage you. And maybe pray for us. We would be so thankful for your prayers and your support. I didn't know I was even going to share that. But I'm going to, just to humble ourselves. We're needy people. But we want to love. We want the power that worketh in us to be very real. We want it to be the working power of our faith. And by God's grace, I know that we can do it. We love you so much. God bless you.